Grace and peace to you, and welcome to Faith Lutheran Church. My name is Candace Wassell. I'm the pastor here at Faith. It is such a joy to have you visit with us. You are welcome, so welcome in every part of Faith's community. You are welcome to join us in person at worship on Sundays. You're welcome to visit us online. You're welcome in our mission and our fellowship, and most important, you are welcome at the Lord's table. Six days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up the high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen, until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is the gospel of the Lord. Congregation may be seated. You may have noticed that an alleluia just escaped when we sang the gospel acclamation. It does not count until the end of this worship service. Grace to you and peace from God our Creator and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It is Transfiguration Sunday. And on Transfiguration Sunday, it is my habit to focus on why Jesus will not let Peter, James, and John stay on the mountain. They want to build tents and stay there, but Jesus will not let them. And every year, I remind you that Jesus won't let them stay on this mountaintop experience because something awaits them in the valley. And every year in dramatic fashion, I pull out the Bible and I ask you to pull it out too. And I point to the chapter right after this where we read that they descend the mountain and go down into the valley where they immediately find a sick child who is in need of healing. And I intend it to be this moment where we all realize together why we cannot stay on mountaintops. And then I always remind you that this altar space is a little mountaintop. And these young people who are taking First Communion and you who are taking Holy Communion ascend a little mountaintop every Sunday and meet Jesus here and receive mercy and nourishment and healing and forgiveness. Amen, brother. But then I tell you, at the end of all of that, that Jesus won't let you stay here. You get sent. You get sent out into the world because there are children needing healing and wholeness out in our valleys too. That is my Transfiguration sermon. I have preached it year after year after year. And I do that because that is the truth of Transfiguration. And I preach that truth for years, because it's applicable. But do you know what else I've been doing for years? Holding a grudge. For 3 years, I have been holding a grudge. A grudge against a woman whose name I do not know. So, schnooks, right? Some of you live in O'Fallon, and you know that at our schnooks, they no longer have you just get in a checkout line. So you can't just choose which checkout looks shorter and get in it. Now you have to get in one big long line and wait for the next checkout lane to open. You're gonna get a real insight into how petty I am. So about 3 years ago, I get in the long line and I make my way to the front of it. But it is a busy day at Schnucks, so there are about 10 people behind me. And as I'm waiting for my name to be called, or not name, as I'm waiting for them to say next, lane six, a woman comes up and says, hey, I just have a few items. Could I cut in front of you? Yes, exactly. Now, if it had just been me and I was in one checkout lane, I would have said, sure, go right ahead. But there were 10 people behind me, already looking annoyed at how long it was taking. So she wasn't really asking if she could cut in front of me. She was asking if she could cut in front of 10 people whose permission she did not have. So in a panic, I kind of look, oh, I see, the self-checkouts are totally open. So I think maybe she doesn't know this, and I say, well, self-checkouts are open right over there. And she goes, well, yeah, but I can't use my reward points over there. Her reward points. At this point, I am dumbstruck by how inconsiderate she is willing to be. So I say nothing for a moment, and then all of a sudden, the thing goes off. Lane six is open. And she just goes. And I'm sitting there not saying a word. Brothers and sisters, that happened 3 years ago. But I still argue with this woman about once a week in my head. And I will tell you, after 3 years of arguing with her, I think I almost have her convinced about how inconsiderate she is. The world out there can leave us speechless, right? In small, petty ways, when we are rude and selfish, but also in big, significant ways, when we are willing to hurt each other, when we are willing to wage war, when we're willing to exploit our enemies and our friends, when we are anxious to have everything that we need, but forsake the hungry and poor. And if we're being honest, we are all caught up in that. I cannot imagine how many times I have been the inconsiderate lady at Schnucks. Or when I've left someone speechless for cruel reasons. And I point all that out today because for the first time in all of my years preaching the same Transfiguration sermon, something new stuck out to me in this reading. And it's this line about Peter and his response to seeing Jesus in all his glory. The text says he did not know what to say. Peter is speechless. But for entirely different reasons than the ways this world can leave us speechless. He is standing in holy awe of who Jesus is. Everything he has seen up until this moment that Jesus has done, the feeding of thousands, the healing, the calming of storms, the casting out of demons, the life-changing stuff that he has witnessed Jesus has all rendered him speechless. In a way nothing else in this world can. And here is what I am realizing for the first time this Transfiguration Sunday. We have a choice. We have a choice. Peter didn't have to go up onto that mountain with Jesus. Lots of disciples didn't, just Peter, James, and John. And he's got them all by now. He has collected them all, but they don't all go. And you could say, well, maybe Jesus only invited these three. Okay, well, if it's about invitation, well, then we just get to acknowledge that Peter accepted the invitation to go up to the mountain. He chose to go up there and put himself in proximity to Jesus where something good and something awe-inspiring could happen. We can choose. We can choose what we put ourselves in proximity to. And that choice can leave us speechless by the world standards, or it can leave us speechless by Jesus' standards. In our lives, we are going to get dumbstruck out there. We are going to get absolutely dumbstruck by everything that goes on out there or that is said to us or that we see happen. But we can also be awestruck by what Jesus is doing still. We can choose what to pay attention to, what experiences to reflect on. We can choose what stories to tell our children. We can choose how to spend our free time. We can choose where we go on Sunday mornings. And you all made the choice to come here on Sunday morning, and look what you get to see. 17 young people making the journey to our Lord's table. 17 young people who are putting themselves in proximity to Jesus. In a world that would have you think only cynical things about young people, we who have chosen to place ourselves in proximity to Jesus get to be awed by 17 children choosing to climb this little mountain and take another step in their faith. And here's the thing about that choice. When they and when we put ourselves in proximity to Jesus and experience awe at what Jesus can do, something besides speechlessness happens to us. Did you notice that as soon as Peter is awestruck by Jesus, he wants to build something, right? I love that about him. He is motivated, and he wants to do something about it. Let me build some tents. There is some science behind what Peter is experiencing. Studies have found that when we have experiences of awe, it motivates us. Experiences of awe, particularly good experiences of awe, when we are humbled, raise our endorphins and lowers our cortisol, which bolsters our physical and mental health. And those same studies found that awe-prone people are more likely to volunteer and to give and to serve. It is something psychologists call the power of self-diminishment, which doesn't sound positive, but it is. Awe makes us realize that we are small, but not in the way someone out there in the world can make you feel small and petty. Small as in part of something big. Something with purpose and meaning greater than ourselves. Science is just catching up with what Jesus already knows about us. When we are in proximity to good, we do good. So Transfiguration Sunday makes the case that we ought to choose to put ourselves in proximity to Jesus, where we hope to be awed by his love and mercy and healing, and that that awe might move us to response, not just for our sake, but for the sake of his larger purpose, to bring about a different kind of world, a kingdom that leaves us speechless because of love and mercy and peace, and it stands in stark contrast to what we find out there. And I know that that is not always easy to choose. I've been arguing with a woman for 3 years. I know it's not easy, especially when you are surrounded by a world that is more than willing to render you dumbstruck. And it's even harder to choose to put yourself in proximity to Jesus when you are surrounded both externally and internally by things that are causing your faith to falter. When the world's out of control, when your body is out of control, and when your heart and mind are just not in this faith, it is hard to put yourself in proximity to Jesus. And I tried this week to see a story where someone was able to put themselves into proximity to Jesus because their faith was strong and this amazing thing happened, but it just didn't come. I got something totally different. But it actually gives me more hope. So let me tell you, it's a very small story. And it happened just a few days ago. I posted a picture on Facebook of the little Lent devotion kits that Jenny made for our families here this year. You guys can pick one up after worship. And a few hours after I post this picture of these Lenten kits, I get a text from a mom. And it said, "Me and my Christian journey are not in a good place. But doing these activities with my kids keeps me connected. So thanks for making these devotion kits." That is someone choosing to haul themselves up the mountain, even when the choice is hard, on the sheer hope that Jesus will render her speechless again. And I find that more encouraging, that someone has the audacity and the courage and the strength to still hope in spite of how distant they feel. That is someone who wants to be awestruck. And today we are promised that that desire and that hope will not go unanswered. That Jesus will show up on this little mountaintop, on those mountaintops out there. And so we need to keep showing up too. You need to keep showing up too. Keep choosing to seek Jesus, to accept his invitation into this community or into another community, and see what the Spirit can do with our small corner of the world that we have been entrusted with. That is our transfiguration truth. Come to the mountain and be rendered speechless. We hope. Amen. The most valuable message we have to share at Faith is the promise we have in Jesus. We come together every Sunday to share this good news in the reading of Scripture and sharing of Holy Communion. It is these two acts of worship that we learn of the forgiveness, peace, and joy that Jesus has won for us on the cross. These gifts also belong to you, and we hope you will feel welcome to receive them. After we've shared worship together, we trust that we are ready to be sent out into the world to serve our neighbor, and you're welcome to join us in that great work as well. There are so many opportunities at Faith to be the hands and feet of Jesus in the world. It's what we feel called to do. It's what we're passionate about. Above all, I want to encourage you in your faith. No matter where you're at in your journey with Christ, you are welcome to visit Faith as often as you are able. But whatever you do, keep searching. There is a church family set aside just for you, and I trust the Holy Spirit will place you right where you need to be.